Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
It's not about the law, it is about grace found in Christ. That's the foundation.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, Pastor Herron talks about the picture of a church as a home in a message called Everyone Wants a Home.
William Tyndale, fascinating story. It's interesting that one of his greatest pains in all that he went through was that he could not get back to home. He was always outside of England, and during those years, he just had a longing to go home. That was a huge drive behind all of this. Besides the fact his friends and all that was taking place, he really did have a drive to believe that the English Bible needed to be in the hands of English-speaking people. We can't really understand and fully appreciate the dynamic going on at that time. Of course, for William Tyndale, greatly gifted, he knew and understood 8 languages. And so for him to be able to translate this was within his gifts, and a very talented, gifted man, but obviously loved God. His greatest drive was, again, to take the Bible and put it into English. We have this version, the King James Bible. Most of what Tyndale's work was done became a backbone for what was later used by King James in order to have this accomplished. Thomas Cromwell, who was the chief minister for Henry VIII, was a great advocate for Tyndale and said, please do not kill this man. This is not right. And when I talked about contending for the faith, you want to take something out of context. That's what the church did, the Roman Catholic Church did at the time, took out of context. We are contending for the faith. We need to stand for the faith. And yet it was totally against what God really wanted. I'm thankful for his sovereign plan. That's why we have the Bible today and we can understand that. And I hope you do will take it a challenge. You know, you think about a man 42 years old, his life was snuffed out at such an early age, and yet why, here we are, years, hundreds of years later, people know the name William Tyndale because there's distinctiveness about him. And this is really what our drive is this year, is to help you to be able to make a difference. It's innate in all of us. Everybody wants a home. My wife and I have only purchased 2 rented CDs over the years. One of them was the CD or the DVD, Babe. How many of you watched Babe? Quite a theological story here. This is the fictitious story of that pig that could talk, and he went into the barnyard, and it's a children's deal, but one of the simple thoughts was he wanted to be a part of the family, wanted to be in a home, and so this whole story about him, and he, all the pigs die, but he survives, and so it's a cute little deal. The other one that I got was The Greatest Game Ever Played. That's it, and it's a simple story. I'm not advocating you go and buy these, but the particular story here is very simply of this true story, 1913. In the U.S. Open, in which this guy, an amateur, Winnett, ended up beating this guy named Varden, who was the world champion. And the subplot to this was his father, a poor farmer, didn't want his boy to go into all this, and he wanted to go into golf. And out of this, the end of the story unites he and his father back together. And I was reminded of this because, in essence, there was this true event that happened. Y.E. Yang, who was a 19-year-old guy that was a weightlifter, and he wanted to go into weightlifting. He fell down some stairs and tore an ACL and couldn't weightlift anymore. And he was a good athlete in a lot of different sports. And so out of that event, he ended up going into golf. He moved on to this little golf course in Oka, Japan, at a resort village. And he was one of 7 children, grew up on this farm, and his dad wanted to go into farming, and he said, I don't want to go into farming. And it kind of strained the relationship, and so he went into this golf range and lived there for 2 months and picked up golf and worked on it early before the golf range opened and before, after it closed, and worked on a swing, and he eventually became a semi-pro in Korea, which meant he'd get paid to play. He said, of course, I'll do that. And basically, 10 years ago, came to the States, won a tournament in 2002, and then he's in the PGA Championship, which is one of the four major championships of golf, and he's going into the final round, the last five holes, tied with Tiger Woods. And I sat and I watched. In fact, Zach was up there, and John Collier, and he eagled on the 14th, which put him ahead a stroke of Tiger Woods. He's going to the last hole. He makes this unbelievable approach shot, and he beats Tiger Woods. And what caught my attention beside all that, and he was the first Asian to win, and is a big, big deal in Korea for this guy who's 37 years old. But what caught my attention, the subplot, was that his relationship with his father, as it was in 1913 with this other story, similar to this. And his drive was that he wanted to end up going home. He wanted to have a right relationship with his parents. And thankfully be said, that's exactly what happened. His parents got up in the middle of the night, watched the tournament, and they were thrilled and excited and called him. And it's a good story. It's a great story. He's on the phone, his parents all jazzed. Yeah, my son. I was for him all along. Actually, he wasn't. He said, I didn't even know what golf was. All I knew is I want my son to be a hard worker and make a living. Well, he did, and he is. This guy's married. The boy, Yang's married. He's got three kids, moving to Dallas, going to open up an indoor driving range, air-conditioned driving range. So he's fairly successful at this point. Now that I got your attention, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because where I'm going with all this, and I'm going to condense this because it should be familiar territory to you, but I want it to be just kind of, again, laying groundwork. I think it's important for you to know why we do what we do, and really everybody does want a home. I've mentioned before, and I'm going to just mention again, that the Bible gives three types of homes that God wants you to have. He wants you to have a family home. And I've mentioned this in another message before. He wants you to have a family home. And that's a home that here on earth that you have. It's nice to have, but not everybody has one. Does that mean that you're deficient if you don't have one? Not necessarily. It's nice to have. The Bible also talks about a heavenly home. He mentions it in Ephesians 2:19, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That's a heavenly home. It's a home in heaven. He wants you to have that. He wants everyone to have that. And then he puts on earth what would be an image of what heaven should be, is a church home. He says it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that you would know how to behave yourself in the household of God. He's not talking about a physical structure. He's talking about a home. And here on this earth, as it is today, as it was back in New Testament times, there were people that didn't have a family home. The home was dispersed many times because of persecution. But they knew someday they'd have a home in heaven, which drew them and drove them. But ideally on earth, there's a home that you can attach yourself to, and it's incredibly important. I want to mention about what our church home is and what it should be. Our interest is that we would be in a place that we would have a family home, a heavenly home, and a church home. And if we can understand that concept, let me talk about the church home, our home. And that is very simply start from the ground level up. And let me mention that is our home built on a foundation. Put 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 3, verse 11. This is how Paul said it. Paul said that for there's no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The foundation of a church is Christ. He, Paul, used that analogy. And so if you can understand that, you can also then understand that building on that foundation is a home. And the three questions I want to leave with you. Number one, why is our home here? And it is here very simply, the expression that you've heard me say many times, and that is Matthew 22:37, when the Shema was quoted out of Deuteronomy. What's the end of the commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Well, out of the 613 that are out there, out of the Torah, the Jews so revered the Torah, the Ten Commandments, that they built around that the Mishnah. Because they so wanted to be able to keep all the laws, they built this whole books to be able to help them keep the law. So they built this Mishnah. On the Mishnah, they also built the Talmud to be able to express all that God wanted. And God was saying, listen, that's just a type of ultimately what I want to you have a relationship. It's not about the law. It is about grace found in Christ. That's the foundation. So therefore, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He answered, love the Lord your God. In other words, you exalt him as the king. And the expression of that is the second commandment is likened to the first, and that's to expand the kingdom, very simply. So if you look at Matthew 22:37, that's the great commandment. You expand the kingdom, that's the great commission. Now, I hope this is not unfamiliar to you. Exalt the king, expand the kingdom. In other words, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's the simple first question. Let me give you the second question. That is, what is our home made up of? When you're looking at a home, you should be able to make up and understand what your home is made up of. On a physical basis, in the United States, many homes are made up of lumber or wood or metal studs. Here, most of them, they're made up of concrete or cement. Many homes in this part of the waters also are made up of simpler structures, but the reality is it's good to identify the stronger the material, the stronger the home will be when it has typhoons hit it. So what are the five major values that make up who we are or the cement our home together? First of all, the theological mortar cements our home. We try and emphasize these five. Number one is worship. You find it in Matthew 22 when he talked about loving the Lord your God. He's not talking about keeping law. He's talking about being able to give worship to God, our time and our attention. When you look at this next year, what should I expect? What should our homes made up of? We want you to be able to worship God. Number two is the idea of ministry. In other words, love your neighbors yourself, giving of yourself. So our church, in what's driving the events going on around us, worship is why we have a Sunday morning. This is why we encourage you to have weekly times and daily times with the Lord. Or the area of ministry, looking for ways to serve other people. In addition to that, the other emphasis of what I'd call cement theological mortar is the idea of evangelism. Going and teaching all nations. That's part of the Great Commission. This is why we have outreaches and chances for you to be involved with this. Then in addition to that, number four is the area of discipleship. And these are parts of what makes us up, our own home and our own church. We didn't come up with these or make these on our own. As the scriptures teach very clearly, you're teaching them to observe all things. You're to go into all nations, teaching them to observe. That's why we have on Sunday night areas of teaching, or with our adult Bible fellowships, or our Sunday school classes for the children, so that you can take God's word and say, boy, I don't understand this. I need to understand this. That's why we encourage you to get certain books and reading books that are of interest to you. That's why I encourage you to not only listen with your ears, but listen with your heart, jotting down things as we've emphasized. You have journals. Why do we do all of this? So that you've got more stuff in your head? No, so that you'd be able to take this, grow, and be able to expand this to other people, which leads to the last area, or what I call theological mortar, which is the area of fellowship. And I think that's why later he says partnering with the Lord and believers, that Christ himself is going to empower you.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.